It's not just that life at work and school has been disrupted, and having all those people not go to work and school also means life at home has been disrupted. That can lead to stresses in even the happiest of homes. And there's a growing concern about the less happy homes and the prospect of domestic abuse. The Secretary General of the United Nations spoke about this yesterday, using the term horrifying global surge to describe cases of domestic violence. Let's explore concerns and options in our region. Community Works in Medford offers a number of programs. Kim Kaplan is the Advocacy Services Director at Community Works and our guest by phone here on the Jefferson Exchange. Kim, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, absolutely. Happy to be here.
So I'd noticed even before the Secretary General spoke out yesterday that the frequency of news stories was increasing. So this seems like it's a major concern in many places.
Yeah, absolutely. And unfortunately, domestic violence is its own pandemic. And so right now you have people that are dealing with the coronavirus, and you have people that have been dealing with domestic violence as well. So they have two crises that are happening in their life currently right now.
When you speak about domestic violence as its own pandemic, I mean, is this something that predates coronavirus?
Yeah, of course. So domestic violence is unfortunately one of those things that has incredibly high rates across our country, in our region. I mean, I would say the rates at best are 1 in 4, but that 1 in 4 statistic usually refers to women in heterosexual relationships, and it refers to physical violence. And we know that domestic violence can occur in all types of relationships. It can include many forms. And so the prevalence is high always. And then, like I said, when you add in the coronavirus, it compounds that crisis that someone is experiencing in their home.
It's another set of circumstances that make the crisis that much deeper. The 1 in 4 you cite, is that a reported rate too?
Yeah, so the, you know, statistics are always a little tricky. And so 1 in 4 is kind of this national statistic that seems to always get kind of referred to. And that could include, it includes the people who we know who have reported, like you were saying, that physical violence piece. But it doesn't include the piece that people might be reporting, those pieces that might not be criminalized, you know, the verbal abuse, the financial abuse, all these other pieces.
Well, that's a good place to spread things out here then, because we're not just talking about actual physical hitting. There's a lot of other kinds of domestic abuse that don't get to that level. Is that right?
Absolutely. You know, and when you think about domestic violence, physical violence and sexual violence are those pieces that there's always those threat of those pieces, that threat of physical violence, that threat of sexual violence, and that's the more extreme or escalated measure. But what's happening in the day in and the day out, there's the financial abuse, which can include someone not allowing to be able to have a job or someone not allowed to keep income from a job. It could include abuse regarding children, you know. If you leave, you're not going to be able to keep the kids. That's a huge reason that people stay in domestic violence relationships, too, when it comes to kids. So using children as pawns in that relationship. It includes, there's a lot of verbal and emotional abuse, a lot of demeaning that happens in relationships. There's a lot of isolation, and the coronavirus has really highlighted that, because unfortunately, right now, you know, we already struggle with people who are in domestic violence relationships who are being isolated from support networks. And right now that has just skyrocketed, because not only are people unable to access a lot of their former social support networks, but there are a lot of essential services that have really had to diminish their role in playing a part in helping to solve this problem of domestic violence. And so people are really experiencing heightened levels of isolation right now.
So the situations when the abuser says, I don't want you to have a job, I don't want you to go anywhere, that's a lot easier to say in a situation where nobody gets to go anywhere.
Exactly. And all those essential support services, you know, things are, you know, as everybody knows, things are you know, really diminished right now because of trying to keep everybody safe and healthy and alive. And so that is something that abusers are just capitalizing on to be able to further isolate the people that they are abusing. It could be from family and friends, you know, because people are trying to socially distance themselves. It could be from healthcare. You know, people might feel afraid to access healthcare potentially, and so abusers are capitalizing on that. And it even goes so far as the police, because we keep hearing, you know, stories around incarcerated individuals who are getting COVID-19 and how there's really been a decreased capacity to arrest and place people in jail because of what's going on with COVID-19. And so you have somebody who is abusive, who recognizes that even if their partner, who they are abusing, decides to seek out and report this to the police, that the police might not even have the capacity to potentially arrest and put that person in jail, maybe because that person has symptoms of COVID-19, or maybe because the jail is trying to monitor, you know, their own situation to keep the incarcerated folks safe and healthy there, and they may be, you know, have a limited capacity to arrest and put someone there. So it's an unfortunate side effect that's happening right now.
Right. Okay. So a number of factors that would certainly lead potentially to emboldening people who are perpetrators of domestic abuse. Kim Kaplan is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange Advocacy Services Director at Community Works based in Medford. Questions, comments, suggestions, welcome here on the Jefferson Exchange by phone at 800-838-3760. Or you can send emails to jx@jeffnet.org. Kim, if you would, give us a bit of an outline of the normal array of services for victims of domestic violence and abuse through Community Works.
Yeah, I'd love to. So Community Works, our mission is that we provide hope, support, and empowerment to those impacted by violence. And we actually support people who are impacted by domestic violence, sexual assault, stalking, and sex trafficking. So a lot of people in our community who are abused can access services from us, and we are still providing services. So I encourage folks, if they are listening and concerned that they might be experiencing one of these things, to reach out on our helpline at 541-779-4357. It's 24/7. We're still operating. So we have a shelter, and anybody can access our shelter who has experienced domestic violence, sexual assault, stalking, or sex trafficking. And our shelter is still in operation. We have made changes to keep everybody safe around disinfecting and social distancing and those types of things, but our shelter is still operating. The interesting thing about our shelter right now is that we are typically a 30-day emergency stay. But right now, because everything's at a standstill, the residents who are staying there for an extended period of time. However, because of that, we are seeking funding and gaining funding to house people in hotels. And while people are in hotels, we are providing them with support through clothing, through food, and through ongoing supportive services over the phone, of course, so that people are not isolated in those hotel rooms. So we are still able to provide housing for people who want to escape abuse. We also have our transitional living program, and that is a program for those who are 16 to 24, and we pay for their housing, and they are trying to escape out of homelessness. And during that time that they're in our program for up to 2 years, they are able to receive case management support. And what we try to do is to give people the tools so that they can be self-sufficient when they leave our program. And both of our housing programs have between an 85 to 90% success rate of people moving into safe, stable housing after they leave one of those housing options. And those are both still operating. So if people need a safe place to go, they can absolutely call our helpline. We also have mobile advocates. So we have advocates stationed in a variety of systems in our community. We have advocates in law enforcement, at Medford Police Department, at the Sheriff's Office, at Central Point. We have advocates at Rogue Community Health. We have advocates at DHS, Child Welfare, and Self-Sufficiency. And so if anybody is to walk into any of those systems and the person supporting them who works there recognizes that they are experiencing domestic violence, sexual assault, trafficking, or stalking, they'll be connected to one of our support people who are there. And also, if people want to access one of those systems, they can go through us to try to get support. And we also have advocates at the courthouse. Forgot to mention that. And they see hundreds of people each year who are trying to seek restraining orders. And all of our advocates are still providing services. It's all looking a little different right now, but mm-hmm. We are still providing services.
Are you noticing an uptick in people requesting those services?
Yeah, so I would say that it's been what we normally see in terms of numbers for those services has shifted. And so typically, for instance, our courthouse is a place that has a high volume of people that we see annually. And that has decreased but our law enforcement advocates have seen a dramatic increase. And I could guess that that's probably because we have, you know, what we spoke about and we started this segment with, talking about the fact that domestic violence in homes right now, that perpetrators are able to use the coronavirus as a tool to manipulate and isolate the survivors that they are abusing. And so there are a lot more calls coming in. And unfortunately, because what we spoke about earlier, potentially not as many arrests getting made. And so people are needing a lot of support. And so we have a lot of referrals coming to our law enforcement advocates right now. Our crisis line is still, that I mentioned, the helpline 24/7, still getting a ton of calls. We're
779-4357.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
We'll make sure we mention that a few more times. 541-779-4357 for the helpline in Jackson County.
And a couple other things that I'll mention that we're still doing. We provide 24/7 advocacy if someone has been sexually assaulted and they go to the hospital and they are wanting to get evidence collected to potentially pursue criminal justice. Or if they maybe don't know, they can still have that evidence collected and they could do it anonymously and decide even later. We're still providing that support. Nurses are still doing that at all the hospitals, and we're providing support. Again, everything is looking a little different right now because it's more virtual, but we're still providing support. And so that's still happening. And we're also still providing support through our support groups. So things are virtually happening with our support groups. So
they're meeting online or something?
Yeah, so we have, there's some different platforms that we're using so that people can connect over the phone, more like a conference call. And if people have access to the visual piece through the webcam piece, they can participate. So still providing all our services and still want to encourage people to reach out.
We're talking to Kim Kaplan at Community Works, based in Medford, Advocacy Services Director, about programs available through Community Works for people facing domestic abuse, domestic violence in the Rogue Valley. You're welcome to join us on The Exchange with questions or comments at 800-838-3760 by phone, 800-838-3760. You can send emails to jx@jeffnet.org. And let me give that helpline number again, 541-779-4357. You mentioned with the extension of the usual 30-day limit at the shelter that you're trying to put some people up in hotels, are the hotels giving you some breaks at this point because they have so few other customers?
You know, we have been fortunate that we have a relationship that was already established with a couple of local hotels, and they have been wonderful. They understand the situation that we're going through. One of them in particular has given us a significant break in pricing because they recognize what's going on and they want to support. So we have been really fortunate in that area. They're safe and kind places, and so we have been thankful.
Now, I would assume there'd be some concern here that there's also an underreporting of domestic abuse, domestic violence, because of the fact that since people are not leaving the house, it's just harder for them to get the solo time to be able to pick up a phone and call for help.
Absolutely. We are definitely recognizing that. And one of the things that we always do whenever somebody calls or reaches out to help is we always ask them, are they safe to talk? And we're seeing a lot more people who we are having to do a lot more safety planning with when they're talking, because they usually only have a minute here or can do a quick text message here. And so we're having to do a lot of creative safety planning so that we can be able to at least connect with somebody so that we can match them with services so that they can get out and be safe.
How fleshed out are the text services? It would seem like that's probably a pretty easy and a quick way for people to get access to services, but they got to have people who are ready to rumble on the other end.
Yeah, so our helpline is a phone call. And then we can move into text after that. We all of our advocates who respond and provide services have work cell phones and are able to provide text messages. And so we're able to provide, you know, back and forth text messages after people call the helpline. And also what we'll do is, in order to keep people safe, as you never know who's texting on the other end of the line. And so when we are doing some of those things, we usually have some type of code or something that the person working with them and the person who is a survivor has to be able to communicate and recognize that it's just the two of them talking and there's nobody else that's unsafe who's witnessing those messages.
Okay, so even on text, it's essentially asking, is it okay for, is this a safe time to talk?
Yep, exactly, yeah. We always have to check in about that, yep.
How stressed is the community work system now? It sounds like you've certainly made accommodations for what you need to do, but I mean, are there limits to how long this can go on in this form?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, at this point, we have been really fortunate that the we have received funding to cover hotels, and we have been fortunate that the funders who fund us are allowing accommodations in people's workloads, because we're having to kind of move some things around so that we can make sure that those essential services are being met and meet the need where it's at. And I would say, you know, if, you know, right now our funding allows for hotels, I mean, we have funding that will basically allow people to, a few people, to stay in hotels through the end of May, but that current funding is limited. And that current funding expires the end of May. So it's, and it's compounding. You know, the more people who call in, the more people who are in hotels. And so that's the biggest concern that I think that we have right now is funding around hoteling people. And we are working fast and furiously to try and make that happen. And I don't want people to ever get discouraged about calling because of they hear that. I still want people to call because we are still trying to work creatively and make that happen. But that's definitely the piece that we need the most support around, and that if it goes on for a very long time, that I would be concerned about.
The number again, 541-779-4357. 4357 on your keypad spells out help with the letter. So 779-HELP after the area code 541. Kim, granted, we're not seeing a lot of people that we wouldn't normally see, but I mean, are there things that regular people without any training can do to keep their eyes open to the possibilities of domestic abuse?
Yeah, and you know, the thing that about domestic violence, sexual assault, stalking, and trafficking is that everybody, every single person can actually do something about this. I mean, one of the things that we can do, and this is generally speaking, this is coronavirus, this is not, is generally speaking, people can talk about this. They can talk about these issues. They can bring them from the shadows into the light and remove that shame and empower people who are living through this to be able to come forward and seek support. I mean, that's a huge thing. And we've seen drastic changes even in the last decade because of a cultural shift of people being able to talk about these issues more freely. And when I say drastic change, I mean policy change, things that actually impact people's lives. And the second thing would be that if you even suspect someone might be, you know, experiencing abuse in some form, because abusers are really great because they are, you know, grooming society.
Kim Kaplan? Okay, that was an interesting drop off of the phone line. Not quite sure what happened there, but Kim Kaplan is the Advocacy Services Director at Community Works. We're almost out of time for our interview anyway, but the point is to keep an eye open for issues. If it rises to the level of calling 911, emergency services people say you should call 911. If you're seeking help and need it in the near term and not right away, perhaps, 541-779-4357, 541-779-HELP. Thanks again to Kim Kaplan, Advocacy Services Director, Community Works.